Well, good morning on this, the 24th of June 2020. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If it's not the 24th of the 20th, 24th of the 6th, 2020 for you, well, I pray that you enjoy the service anyway. For anybody that wants to set out their Bible references beforehand, we're reading in the New Testament this morning. Our sermon will be taken from Mark chapter 15. And our Bible reading and just a song and a bit will be taken from Revelation chapter 3. So that's Mark 15 and Revelation chapter 3. And don't forget, you can stop and pause the tape or the CD or the audio file at any time if you need a moment or two to catch up with where we're at in a hymn book or in the Word of God. And the hymn book we're using is Soul-Stirring Songs and Hymns. If you're local and you want one to join with us, just give us a shout and we'll get one to you. And if not, well, just sing along. I'm sure you'll be able to find the words for all of the songs somewhere on the internet. We're going to be singing All the Way My Savior Leads Me, Praise Him, and I Am Resolved. Okay, now we're going to officially begin with a word of prayer, so let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come before you. Lord, thank you for this new day and for life and health and strength. We pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Monica and myself as we take part in and carry this service out. As we, after the service, get it uploaded to the internet and to Facebook and burned on to CDs and distributed to whosoever will, Lord. We just thank you for loving us and watching over us. And I pray you just at this specific time, Lord, for young Frank, as he travels back from England this morning, please just watch over him and keep him. And I pray, Lord, that his trip would have been successful. And hope and pray, Lord, that you would look after him this morning as he does travel. Please also, Lord, look after his mom and dad, Ling and Dr. Shang. And we're not forgetting either John Ritchie and Will, Christine, Mary Ann, David and Naomi and their families, William and Rachel, Paul too, wee Lillian, and of course Reggie. We don't forget either, Lord, Leonard at this time and his family, especially his daughter, and pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon them both. Lord, please be with Esther and please grant her, Lord, I'm sure the prayer of her heart that her children would be saved. And Lord, please bless and keep Christy as well. Taylor too, Lord, and please save Terry and Lisa. Lord, just when we're there up in Clondermot, please, Lord, do look after Eddie and Anne, and especially I pray you for wisdom and strength for their children as they tend to young Mason, Lord. We know he has a few difficulties with autism, so please do put your good hand upon them. Bless Brother Norman, Lord, and the opposition that he faces day by day. Please speak to the hearts and minds and souls of each one involved and save them, I pray. But please, Lord, give Norman the victory. Pray you too, Lord, for Pat and Steve, and I know they have many loved ones and family members that they want to get saved, and I pray that you would, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, especially too for Steve's health difficulties at the moment, not just his legs, Lord, but especially for his legs right now, and Pat as she tends to him. Please be with also Brother John and Stephen and Carol. And Lord, we're not forgetting the rest of the folks and our extended church for this brief few month period. We think especially on another Norman and his medical difficulties too, for Noel and Joan, his mom and dad, for Jane and Corey. I pray you too, Lord, for Terence McLaughlin. And Lord, we're not forgetting Carol and Harry and Marie. Pray your good hand upon them this day. For her neighbours across the road, Lord, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Henry and Evelyn as they travel over to be with a daughter that's expecting a new baby. Please watch over them too. And I pray you too for Sally and Sammy and Kate, Lord, for their salvation. And also, Lord, we pray you too for Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington, for your good hand upon them at this time, Lord, please. Pray you, Lord, for my dad as he listens to the services, for Maslam and Georgina and their children, Lord, for their salvation. And we remember as well Roger and Pat Hain as they listen at home. And Lord, for anybody else that clicks upon the service, for Brother Stan, for his family up in Bangor, and all the folk and the church family too. If I've missed anybody, Lord, please put your good hand upon me and help me remember them as the day goes on. But Lord, you know we need you. You know, Lord, our country and this world need you. And I pray you, Lord, please, that many more would be convicted of sin and judgment to come before the world, the flesh and the devil crash in again and take their minds away from everything. We just love you and thank you. Bless this service, Father, and the lifting up of your praises. Please, Lord, I pray you, grant our prayer requests according to your will. And Lord, we pray your will would be done. Lead us and guide us, not just now, Lord, but the rest of the day and the rest of our lives. And Lord, we love you and praise you. Amen. All right. We're going to begin with the first of our hymns this morning. Hymn number 110, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. Hymn number 110. Chapter 3. Thank Brother Steve for our Bible reading suggestion this morning, and pray that we will get to the point where he is able to bring us the Bible readings before very soon, and we're able to read it directly to you face to face instead of over a recording. Revelation chapter 3, we briefly touched on this just a service or two ago, when we were quite literally not just in the book of Revelation, but through one side and out the other Revelation. This is the second of the chapters dealing with the seven churches in Asia Minor. The word of God says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and are set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. And thank you very much for that, Brother Steve. Tommy, at this point in the service, we will go through any announcements. I want to, I was just reminded this morning of the CD machine, the duplicator. And thank the Lord and for the one single auction on eBay that we were able to find and to obtain that our the CD duplicator is up and in business again and duplicating at 7 CDs at a time. So our duplication time has reduced through all of this, and that just saves us about 10 or 15 minutes whenever we're doing that after the church service. So we're thankful for that. I know many people will say, check eBay and Amazon. At least that's what I say whenever I go looking for things in this day and age. And for all the millions of things that there are for sale, there was only one of these little controllers, and we were able to get it along with a number of other DVD drives because a few of ours had died a death. So we're glad that we're up in business again and we are back to full copying capacity. We'd also like to bring to your attention the church received a little newsletter from Kids for Schools, and it's basically a COVID-19 update in Tanzania. Excuse me, just want to read this out to you this morning. With COVID-19 affecting so many countries globally, many supporters have been inquiring about their sponsored children in Tanzania and wondering if they are safe, if they have enough food, if they have ways to protect themselves, and if the virus has reached Dodoma. We were informed on the 18th of March that the virus had indeed reached Dodoma. The government immediately closed all schools, primary and secondary, for 30 days to assess the situation. At that time, people were being encouraged by the president to gather together to pray for the country. At that time, they were unaware of how the virus was spreading and the extent of the situation. As soon as the government schools closed, Kids for Schools closed both the vocational training and the kindergarten class to minimise the risk of spreading the virus. Just like here, the larger hotels and restaurants closed their doors, but many of the smaller shops remained open, as this is the only way that people earn a living. There is no government furlough scheme in Dodoma like we have in the UK, so if you don't work, you starve. To date, there have been around 509 cases of the virus reported and 21 deaths. And like many places in the third world, and indeed communist countries and others, I believe the statistics to be inaccurate, as many will contract it, but due to lack of finances or healthcare will recover or even die not knowing that they had it. All healthcare and medication costs in Tanzania. In the UK, with free healthcare and access to clean water and soap, PPE and financial assistance, this doesn't happen in Tanzania. As the schools are closed, the children are not receiving their meal from our feeding stations. The only meal these children were possibly getting during the day is no longer available. Many sponsors do finance food parcels for their children's family, which is a real lifeline at the minute, but there are others on our programme who don't receive these. These are the children that are laid heavy on our hearts. There are a few other articles in here. It talks about giving bags of flour to people. It costs £4 per bag of flour. And amen. They put news to that effect on their Facebook page, and within an hour they had a donation that covered the price of all the bags of flour that were produced. This is to give people a monthly food parcel. We think we are having it tight. We do not know we're living. Please do pray for these people in Tanzania and Habari. Now, normally Kids for Schools would be running a mission trip between the 5th of July and the 19th of July, but that has been knocked on the head because of quarantines and one thing and another. Please do pray for the Kids for Schools. I know we do pray for them, and I pray that you would even take a minute to go down and read the names of the children. I am very bad at that since they changed. My memory has gotten worse since I got out of hospital. There's a lot of things just go clean out of my head. But please do not just pray for them, but also pray for Paul Forrest at this time. He's in respite care. He's not doing very well. I can't take phone calls, but please do pray for him. And do pray for Francis Cosgrave as he mourns the loss of his brother, or Lisa, an uncle. They were able to be at the funeral there at, was it the start of this week? Or the end of last week? I don't recall the exact timing. But please do pray for them and their family at this time as well. And of course, for all of those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. We live in interesting times. But just remember, even when everything around you is changing, there is a solid rock that anyone can cling to and indeed stand on and flourish. And that solid rock is Jesus Christ. So please do be mindful of your own stand for Jesus Christ. Amen. Are there any other announcements, Mrs. Bradfield? I know as we go through the service, especially as we make our introductions and mention the names of all the people that we, some of the names are unfamiliar to them, but please do pray for them. Especially for Stephen and Anne Marie have been very, very good to me and to the church in helping with the maintenance of the grounds. There's some church maintenance that needs to be done before the bad weather kicks in again, but please do pray for Stephen and Anne Marie, that God would just honour them for what they did. And just do what you can do. I'm hoping that this will be the last Wednesday service that we have to have like this, that the next time you get a Wednesday service, you're here to get it in person. But we're waiting for the government to release our restrictions. But in the meantime, we're going to keep going. And if the government says churches can't open after reviewing statistics and one thing and another, well, this won't be the last Wednesday church service you get like this. But one way or another, you will get a church service. We'll make sure that you get one. You can listen to it at your leisure. The only rub with moving back to having services in the church hall is you have to be there. Means you can't put it off to 7:30 or 8:30, or you can't start early and listen to it at 3:00. Yeah, I'll have to be here. We look forward to that too. But and you can't press pause on me anymore either. You just have to go. You're just along for the ride whenever we're going. But those are good things to look forward to. So please do pray for each other, and please do be much in prayer for our missions outreach. We didn't mention the Christian Institute. There's also Open Doors and Outreach International, I think is the name of the place. There are a multitude of other Christian outreaches and missionaries and whatnot out there. The Lord knows who they are. Just bear them up in prayer. Of course, our own countrymen, our leaders, and goodness, the world as it is right now. And pray for those deluded souls that are caught up in this rioting and protesting. It's interesting days. But it's all mentioned in the Bible, so let's keep our eyes on that, and we'll be well prepared. Let's pray, and then we will sing another song. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for loving us and watching over us. We do pray, Lord, that you would grant our prayer requests that we have already mentioned, and our private prayer requests as well, Lord, that you would grant them according to your will. And that you would help us today, Lord, as we keep our eyes on you, as we spend this time around your word. Bless and watch over us. Lift up those that are downcast. And please, Lord, I pray a healing touch in those that are sick, and myself included. And Lord, just ask that you would inspire and constrain the leaders of the countries in this world, that they would do and say the right things, even at the personal cost, or not looking as good as they would like to, but that they would do the right thing. Lord, we just love you, and we thank you especially for not just the duplicator up and running again, but for another day, for answered prayers, for saved souls, and Lord, for loving us and watching over us, for your Son, Christ Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit. Please bless the remainder of the service, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's take our hymn books again. This time we're going to go to 164 in Soul Stirring Songs and Hymns. 164 is Praise Him, Praise Him. 164.
Praise Him.
Right now, and we are opening our Bibles at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, if you'd like to be taking and turning there. I'm just organizing the last song of the service. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and beginning at verse number 1. Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. We're going to be spending a little bit of time this morning on the subject of contenting the people or pleasing God. Contenting the people or pleasing God. The Word of God says, "And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And he answering said unto him, 'Thou sayest it.' And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now, at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross. And they bring him unto the place of Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He can save others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. Amen. That is our Bible reading. Our specific text this morning is verse number 15, where the word of God says, And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Let's pray again and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you for this morning. Pray your good hand upon us as we teach and preach your word. Thank you for those good old songs preserved for us, Lord, and specifically for your word preserved for us. Pray, Lord, that it would be a blessing to each one of us, to every soul, Lord, that opens the King James and that preaches the full counsel of it, Lord. I pray that souls would be lifted up, Lord, that you would be magnified. Souls would be comforted and strengthened and even chastened, Lord. Just thank you for loving us, and we pray, Lord, for Brother Stan and Brother Bissett. Pray, Lord, for Julian Patterson and Ian Brown and Johnny Campbell and Johnny Crane and his sister too, Lord. He's not a preacher, but Lord, he's just been on our prayer list. Pray you for Pastor Asquith and Pastor Hayne. Pray you too, Lord, for Pastor Fox and Pastor Isaacson and Pastor Smith and Pastor Snowd. I pray you, Lord, too, for Pastor Randall. Lord, please put your good hand upon all of these men, myself included, and I pray you, Lord, that you would help us and inspire us and straighten us, Lord. We love you and thank you. We pray your good hand upon us. Please watch over us as we go, and we love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Contenting, pleasing the Lord, or contenting the people. It is ever the dilemma that Christians, not lost souls, but it is ever the dilemma that Christians face. In this chapter of Mark chapter 15, we see one of the perspectives of the illegal arrest, the mob justice, and the lynching of Jesus Christ. We see a mob whipped up into a frenzy by wicked leaders that knew all the right things to say that would incite the crowd into doing exactly what they wanted to do. We see a mob that is used to listening to these wicked men as they feathered their own nests and padded their own pocketbooks. They knew exactly what they wanted, and that was Jesus gone. We see a weak ruler, Pilate, who is afraid of the people and states that legally, three times actually, that he found no fault in him, that Jesus had done nothing wrong. And even stranger, just like in Isaiah 53, where the word of God says that he would be as a lamb before a shearer's dumb, Jesus never defended himself and let a couple of legal loopholes go so that he would be sent to the cross for our sins, not for his own and not for anything that he did, but for ours. So even as Pilate strives to release Jesus, the chief priests, it says in verse 11, moved the people that they should release Barabbas. Imagine people wanting a murderer released instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a big stretch to believe that when we look at the lives that people lead today, when they would rather have alcohol or drugs or immorality as their friend instead of their Lord and Savior, instead of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And even as Pilate questioned the crowd and said, "What has he done?" their reply is, "If he hadn't done anything, he wouldn't be here, so therefore he is guilty." That's not an answer. That is your desire, but it is not an answer. It's not legal, and it's not just, but it is the way of lust and greed. These chief priests, these Pharisees, whose position had been threatened over these 3 years that the Lord had taught and preached and carried out many notable miracles. How many people do you think that were saved? How many people were pointed in the right direction, were set up to receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is mentioned in the book of Malachi? Thousands. Thousands. We read in the book of Acts how 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. That foundation was laid by John. The gospel was introduced by John. The foundation was laid in Jesus Christ. And it was completed with his words through his disciples. 3,000 people were added unto the church.
But for all the thousands that were saved, how many choked at it? How many rejected the preaching of the cross? How many, instead of listening to the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord, how many, instead of accepting his grace, rejected it so that they could go out drinking, so that they could go out whoring? And we're even speaking about the religious leaders of the day. How many of them wanted, desired, and lusted after the power and the glory that being in a position of responsibility brought? These positions that they should have taken off their robes and put them upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but instead they found themselves in opposition to him. Pharisees appealed to a tradition which had absolutely nothing to do with legalities. Give us a man. Still Jesus has not been found guilty of anything, but they want Barabbas. And so it almost seemed like the Lord was being slowly pulled into this machine, which ended up with him on the cross. Again, Pilate cried, what's he done? And all that they can answer is kill him. We want this man gone. And if you recall to mind, earlier on in the Gospels, Annas and Caiaphas stated that it was expedient that one man should die for his country. What they were actually saying, you know what, it would be better if he died and we just kept on going the way that they were going. And of course they have. For thousands of years, false religion has continued on. That would leave them unchallenged in their positions, in society, and even before God. Isn't it sad that these prideful, lustful glory hounds, in their sinful lifestyles, found plenty of people to help them accomplish their will? You know what? Nothing's changed today. Pilate, being the bastion of modern power, in other words, no spine, a perfect example of evolution. In order to aspire to be a politician, you have to evolve out your spine. And any iron in your blood or grit in your craw, as they would say in the old westerns. In order to have a peaceable life, in order to content the people, he gives in to them. After all, it's only one man's life. Have you ever heard that example when parents will say to their children, oh, anything for a peaceful life? You say that often enough, my friends, and it'll turn into everything for a peaceful life, because a person that has not shown any boundaries doesn't know when to stop. Children are those little people. The devil's greatest victory, he thought, was brought about by the jealousy of the religious and the weakness of the powerful and the laziness of the crowd. At least he thought it was. Eh? And we can see this even today. And whenever we mention religious leaders in the next little portion, we're not specifically speaking about the Gospels right now, but how they reflect our society today. When I talk about religious leaders in the next little bit, I'm not talking about Protestant leaders or Catholic leaders, or should I say, not Presbyterian leaders or Methodist or Church of Ireland or Catholic or Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or Baptist, or indeed just religious leaders, but the things that many people have set up as their religion in their lives, the things that people will follow without asking any questions. You see, God instructed us to ask questions. He said, make sure of your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you make sure that you've believed in the right thing. He said, test me and prove me. That doesn't mean to tempt him. That doesn't mean stand out in front of a bus as it's coming towards you, knowing or thinking that God's going to save you. He doesn't save stupid people. Stupid people tend to bring about their own demise. He says, take me at my word and do the things that I say in my Bible and see if it doesn't work out better for you. But anyway, there's crowds of people that are far too lazy to reason things out for themselves. And so they give over their own thinking to somebody else that they have set up as their religious leader. And I don't care if that is someone in robes, or someone in a suit and a tie, or someone that sits in an office in a government building. They think that these people know what's right and wrong and are going to keep them right. But sadly, many of these people that sit in offices in churches and in governments and leading whole countries today are just like the scribes and the Pharisees, and any notion of doing what's right is, goodness, absolutely against what they want to do, and so they will oppose that with every fibre of their being. And we see today mobs of thoughtless and lazy people whipped into a frenzy by their religious leaders. Again, we're not talking about Muslims. We're not talking about Catholics or Protestants. We're talking about people that will stop thinking and give all of their thought processes over to someone they have as their leader. And they will take every little bit of their imagined ire, of their frustrations, and they will pick on one person or one portion of society that they perceive is weak and not able to defend themselves. And they will persecute. It's not just Joe Public. It's the big cheeses in particular, especially when it comes to their lives and possessions and the rank hypocrisy they display. There's a fellow, Jimmy Kimmel, I don't know if you've ever come across him, but he is one of the liberal left's golden-haired, blue-eyed boys, until, and this is the funny thing, a comment or a few tweets or recording that he had made 20 years ago when he was a young man, and even more stupid than he is today, they were found to say things about black people. And woe betide you ever say something about the colour of somebody's skin, unless, of course, they're white. And so all of a sudden, he's gone on holiday to spend time with his family, whereas other people in more conservative circles that have said and done the same things have had their head, they've been led to the executioner's block and have their heads chopped off, not quite literally, but figuratively. It was quite funny to watch how the liberal left treats its own stars. And these mobs are pandered to by the leaders that give in to them for a quiet life, because most often the few people that are there genuinely, and there might have been some people that disagreed with Jesus on things, and they might have been quite genuine, but there were a few that actually came to him that disagreed with him and hashed it out with him, Nicodemus being one. Gamaliel was a very thoughtful man. Paul, another, who contended with him during his day, but ended up having a very one-to-one discussion with him on the road to Damascus and admitting that he is indeed Jesus Christ. But these leaders are more than happy to let these mobs go their way, but don't quite realize that sometimes these things gather their own momentum and they create a two-edged sword, which will indeed fall back on them on the day. It will cut them eventually. Now, I'm not saying that this Black Lives Matters is wrong. But I would love to rub out the two bumps on the B, and instead of it being BLM, change it to ELM, Every Life Matters. Because every life is important. The Word of God says we're all of one blood. Just because there's a little bit more melanin in someone else's skin than there is in my skin does not reduce the value of their soul in the eyes of God or in my eyes. Protestant or Catholic, black or white, red, yellow, goodness, each and every one of us has a living soul. Many years ago, whenever I used to read some of the American magazines that somehow managed to get across the Atlantic, and you're talking 35 years ago, I would buy a magazine called Gung Ho, an American military magazine, and I thought it was cool because it had all these things about helicopters and guns and army gear, and I thought this was really good. But I remember reading about an old drill sergeant, and I'm I'm going to embellish because I can't remember the exact quote, but this was, he had all these guys coming off the bus. There were no women back in those days. And he got in front of them, and I don't know if you've ever seen them, the hat pulled down over their eyes and him looking down his nose at the new recruits, and he says, "I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're red, I don't care if you're yellow, once you walk through those gates, you're mine and you're green. You're army. No black or white. Army." People seem to have lost that. And in people's striving to make one person more important than the other, they make everybody less important. And it is interesting to note that all of this was kicked off. We know it's been simmering just away for thousands of years. It's in us all. If you cast your mind back to the Dark Ages, the Fox's Book of Martyrs records the death of many. Many Bible believers and many people that just weren't Roman Catholics. Who were burned at the stake. And they had mobs baying at them and throwing tomatoes at them. And all they wanted was for somebody to be hurt, somebody to be killed. They just wanted to stick their teeth into someone and to feel the blood dripping down their chin. That's in all of us, friends. And unless we aspire to something better, that's all we will ever be. Mobs of bloodthirsty thugs. We see it again today. People think they'll get away with it. They can do whatever they want. Just like whenever Pilate said in one of the other Gospels, he said, "I'm washing my hands of this man. This is completely on you." And the people said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." And I am sure maybe they thought, "Do you know what? If we spread his blood out over us and all of our children, we'll only get a little bit of the blame." But that's not the way it works. Whether you murder somebody yourself or whether you're in a gang that lands a blow that results in somebody's death, you are guilty of murder. We are all guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. And unless we get back to Jesus and ask him to forgive us, we will all suffer the penalty. John the Baptist was murdered in jail because of an old man's lust for his stepdaughter. Amos was threatened with execution if he didn't shut up and toe the line with all the other prophets. And all that they ever did, all that Jesus ever did, was warn of judgment, of sin to come. So many times you will be put upon for preaching the gospel, for preaching the word of God, regardless of where it is that you do it, on a street corner, a car park, in a doorway, on the internet. Just because you seem like an easy target. Just because you're convicting of sin and judgment to come. Just because you are a threat to people whose positions and power are based upon money, the love of it, and lust and sensation. What is the gospel? Well, gospel is the only thing that's going to make a real difference in somebody's life. It's the good news of God for a broken, hell-headed creature, that's you and me. Each and every one of us is held accountable by God in heaven for all of our wrongdoings, all of them. And just because you think you're getting away with them here on earth does not mean that there's not going to be a retribution in eternity. You need to remember that the end of this life is just the beginning of an eternal one. There's only two places to go, heaven or hell. Hell is a place of torment, and that's where everybody that refuses Christ as their Savior is going to end up at. And you get there by doing what you've always done. I heard a preacher say one time, if you are today what you always have been, you're not going to heaven. But heaven is a place of peace, of heart and mind, that you will get to go to, a place of fellowship with God, a place of goodness, of contentment, a place of purpose. And you get to go there if you trust Christ as your Savior. You turn from your sin, the lusts, and the pleasures, and the sensations that you look to instead of God. When you're sick enough to chuck it, when you realize it's not doing its job, and turn to Christ for salvation, then you're going to heaven. Everybody makes that decision every single day. I'm not going to choose God today. I'll leave it for another day. You're not leaving your choice for another day. You're rejecting Jesus Christ another day. He doesn't want that. Every soul that turns away from their sin and trusts Christ as their Savior no longer has to find a substitute for the peace of God and the assurance of salvation. How does it change people? It opens people's eyes and it helps them to see things that lost people just can't see or won't see. It helps to see that drinking and drugs and smoking and sleeping around and violence and thrills and entertainment and video games, the pursuit of money and pleasures are a poor substitute for the Savior. They might help you to forget, but eventually conviction of sins and judgment to come soon comes round again. And you know, there's a lot of people that make merchandise on people rejecting Jesus Christ. You think of all the pubs and nightclubs. The best thing that could happen to them is that they would never be able to open again. But I know, despite this opportunity that we have had, this opportunity we've had this past 3 or 4 months to search out Christ and to set our lives right with Him, that many people are just gagging to get back to the drink. They're so convicted by their sins. They're so convicted with this time in their hands, and they don't know what to be doing. Do you know what I have seen, and it's quite funny, sad, is how many people's feelings are hurt. How many children have PTSD. How many people just don't know how they're going to manage at home. And I would say with my hand and my heart that those are all quotes from lost moms and dads, from lost people, about lost children, no Christ in their lives. Whenever you threaten these leaders, they're not going to be too long in threatening or pushing back. And unless you're a master orator like Paul was, remember whenever, was it Paul who was surrounded by the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he set one against the other, and he was able to get himself some manner of salvation from them? You have to prepare beforehand. You have to live like a Christian. You need to prepare your testimony, and it needs to go before you. The places that you go, the way that you speak, the clothes that you wear, the fact that you go to church and sing God's praises, the fact that you'll go out of your way to help people. These things should challenge people that you don't know. People that know you but are not saved. Doesn't mean you'll have to live like a hermit without any modern conveniences. Remember what God's promised to you. Like, once you're saved, you're like the mustard seed. You're going to be different, but no less fulfilled than one of the ordinary trees, one of the ordinary seeds. And one by one, souls that you know will be touched. Many of them will reject, but some of them will accept your Savior as their own. But even if they don't, there will come a day that the Lord will greet you at the gates of heaven. And He's not going to judge you on your success. He's going to judge you on your availability, on your obedience. And He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I want for you to also remember some of the many promises of the Lord. Unfortunately, we don't subscribe to an easy life when we trust Christ as our Savior. We have ourselves to overcome, but we also have the world as well, and its opinions and our feelings, and of course the constant temptation of the devil. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. And if the devil thought that Jesus was worth opposing, don't be surprised whenever he opposes you. But there will come a day when you're put in the spot. Maybe when you're in front of the mob, and you don't have to be quiet like Jesus was quiet. You are allowed to speak out. In fact, the Lord even made a provision for you. The Lord was given His life for our sins. If you ever get that opportunity, think of this, the desire of every preacher to bring the gospel to a bunch of folks that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Lord has promised that whenever you're delivered up, whenever you're put on the spot, take no thought how or what you shall say, for in that same hour it'll be given you what you shall say. And it'll not be you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. His sacrifice on the cross pleased God. His quietness in the face of his accusers pleased God. But now the Lord asks for your words, for your lips, for your presence, for the words of his word that you have hid in your heart to be let loose and to let fly and hopefully to pierce through Christ-rejecting hearts. When you stand and be counted, pray that people will see Jesus in you. I'm going to close just with a quick thought. When you work on contenting people, all you're doing is patting them on the back as they go merrily on the way to hell. But when you work on pleasing God, and you're demonstrating through your words and deeds just what God can do for you, you're demonstrating that God is a better way. It really is up to you, even in Christian circles. You can work on pleasing God with your life, and you'll convict even Christians. Or you can work on pleasing people, and that'll just turn your head. I had an old boss, wasn't a Christian, not by any stretch of the imagination. He used to say to me, Mark, you can please some of the people all the time, and you can please all of the people some of the time, but you'll never please all of the people all of the time. It is much easier on your mind and on your body and on your finances and on your family and friends when you set your sights upon God and make it your aim to please him. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. Let's take our hymn books this one last time during the service. And turn to 288. This is one that we haven't sung very often of late, but we're going to sing today. Number 288, I am resolved.
Yeah.
you all for your good time and attention. God bless you. I pray you have a good midweek service, Lord's Day, or indeed whatever time of the day or week or life that you're listening to this. I pray it would have been a wee bit of a help to you. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the freedom to spend time in your presence. Please bless those that have joined us in spirit, Lord. We just thank you for loving us and for your Son. Please watch over us and keep us. Put your good hand upon us, Lord. Please, I pray you, cleanse us and refresh us. Lord, we just thank you for this time that even though we haven't been able to meet together, we can meet together around your word. Please look after your children and please convict the lost of their need to be saved. We ask all these things, Lord, of course, our private prayer requests and petitions too, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. See you again soon.